Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, everybody, how we doing? Good. It's good to be home. Good to be home. Man, okay, so we're starting a new series today. For those of you who I haven't met yet, my name is Nally. I'm the pastor here. But we're starting this new series called At the Movies. And I will be preaching from the Word of God, not the actual movie. The movie will be a launching pad, just in case some of you are thinking, okay, this church has gone way too seeker friendly, all right? The movie is the parable, but the Bible is the anchor of which we will look at. Moana is today's movie. So we're at the series called At the Movies. We're looking at biblical themes from movies, but today's movie is Moana, one of my favorite movies of last year. How many of you enjoyed Moana? I kept, you know, when people kept, when I was in the Philippines, people were trying to figure out where we were from, because our whole team was Polynesian that went over, Samoan, Maori, and Tongan, and they were trying to figure out where those places are, and I told them, just watch Moana. We're basically encapsulated in those people, and you're welcome. So, I was thinking about the Moana. The reason why it's one of my favorite movies, apart from it being finally a movie that's well produced, and because it's rare that you find a movie that's set in the South Pacific. I can't remember the last movie that was set in the South or in the Pacific at all. Like Blue Hawaii with Elvis, maybe South Pacific musical. It's not a music in the islands, but like Hawaii 5-0. Someone said over here. Yeah, we'll take that too. A lot of Hawaii, not much Samoa or Tonga, man. But like, anyway, it was good to see our, you know, my people depicted. But I was over there in the Philippines, and they were wondering, like, are you a plus size Filipino, or you know, like, are you a big size Malaywan, or you know, like? But look, the reason why I like this movie, as David and Isaiah were saying, is because of the theme of going beyond the reef, which is essentially the title of my message, which we'll get to it in a bit. Because I really believe that God has called us to go beyond ourselves, beyond our fears, beyond our limitations, to serve others and to glorify God. Because once you get beyond the reef, so to speak, you actually discover the purpose and the reason why God has created you. Now, I'm going to unpack it a little bit from Scripture. If you've got a Bible, go with me to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at another water story. If you got your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 14. We'll read from the 22nd verse. If you don't have a Bible, you can read on the screen with me. And it says, speaking of Jesus, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Everybody say the other side. While he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart." Turn to somebody and tell them, "Take heart." I said, "Cake heart." Out of the abundance of the heart. "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." I like Jesus saying, he just says in one word, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Wow. And came to Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. We thank you, Lord, that the sole authority lies in your word, Lord God, not in my ability to preach it. So, God, I lean on your word, not my own unpacking of it, to breathe new life into us and to enable us to walk this life out in the way that you've called us to. And I pray, Lord, for the faith that would cause us also to rise above situations and actually walk upon the water, so to speak, in whatever we're facing, to literally and figuratively go beyond the reef, that which limits us from moving forward and giving you the maximum glory that you deserve in our lives. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, the title of my message is Moana Beyond the Reef. God has called us to live a life that is beyond the reef. Now, what could a reef be? Like, we live in the state that celebrates the biggest reef in the world, right? The Great Barrier Reef. Now, as beautiful as it is, you know, it's not like, how many of you have walked on a reef before? Like, as beautiful as it is, but then you start to step on the coral, it's not so beautiful, right? And like, so what coral often represent, what reefs actually represent, like, is like a place of like a barrier, that which is somewhat of a limitation. Like if you're on a boat, it can lift your boat up because of the coral formations that lift it up. So it causes you not to be able to go past it. So it's kind of God's natural formation of how he forms these reefs as a natural actual protection of that which comes in. But also it can be a limitation for that which goes out. And that's what I want to get at, is in the spirit. What is limiting you from stepping out in everything that God has for you? Now, as we look at the scripture, we see a lot of natural phenomenons being, well, not a lot. There's one major one, walking on actual water. Any of you tried that recently? Some of you may have. But Jesus walks on water. But what's interesting is how this happens, right? Is that Jesus sends crowds away, and then he goes off into a solitary place. So when you see that, you immediately must think, okay, why is he sending these crowds away? And this is why it's important. For those of you who like to study the Bible, I want you to take note of this, okay? This is kind of a side thing, but important for you to remember. When you're studying scripture, don't look at the Bible heading. How many of you have a heading, Jesus walks on water, or something like that above this, right? The danger is you just read from that part down, and you don't read what happens before it. If you read what happens before it, Jesus just finished feeding 5,000 people. 5,000 men, actually, there's more women and children. And usually that means like probably at least 15,000 people. He feeds them with what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. So that massive miracle happens. But what's interesting to note is like that doesn't explain the reason why he's wanting to walk away. Have you thought about that? He's wanting to go off by himself. If you actually go a step back even further, because again, that's a heading, right? You'll probably look at your Bible right now. It probably says Jesus feeds 5,000, right? On that heading. That's the danger, is that these subheadings can cause you not to read that which comes before it. That which actually comes before it is the beheading of his cousin. So imagine this, right? Your cousin, the one who set your ministry up, who baptized you in water, whose sole purpose in life was to be your Elijah, to prepare the way of the Lord for your coming, has now been beheaded, and not just beheaded, but beheaded in the king's court at the request of her majesty. So not just beheaded, but beheaded in the most shameful way in that kingdom. Now news comes back to Jesus. And when news comes back to Jesus, hearing about this dear cousin of his, can you imagine Jesus Christ, 100% human, experienced that level of anguish? Of course you want to go off by yourself and be with the Father, right? What I love about it is if you look at in your Bible, I don't have it on the screen, but if you actually look at the context, he goes away to be in a solitude place. So imagine I'm Jesus, I'm walking away from you, but the Bible says that crowds begin to follow him, and it says that he turns around and heals their sick. What? I don't know about you, but me personally, I know I'm not as perfect as you guys, but me personally, if I hear that gravitude of news, right, and that gravity of just bad news coming my way from someone so dear to me, and I go off to be on my own, and 15,000 people are following me, I would flesh out. I would turn around and go, how dare you try to follow me? Didn't you just hear the news? It's all over the headlines here in Jerusalem, in Galilee. My cousin cuz just got his head cut off. And y'all still want to follow me? Selfish, so-and-so. And that's how I would react. But Jesus turns around, has compassion on them, and heals their sick. Man, that's beyond the reef, living right there before he even gets in the water. And the Bible says that he goes on to see that they're hungry. And then in another gospel, a boy is the one who brings the food to him, and he breaks the bread, and he looks to heaven, breaks the bread, and then he distributes it amongst the disciples. Notice Jesus doesn't directly do it himself. He raises this army of disciples to distribute the work and the sustenance of God towards the people. And he's raising up you to distribute the sustenance of his gospel towards the nation of Australia. That's what he's doing here. And it's so good that there's 12 baskets overflowing. And then he's like, "Y'all good now? Can I go be on my own now? Is that okay?" He sends the disciples off in a boat, and he says, dismisses the crowds. "Y'all are dismissed. Name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, peace." And then he's like, "Okay, I'm off on my own." And so we read in scripture in verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get in the boat, go out before him on the other side, okay? While he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain to pray by himself to pray. It's important to note this, okay? Jesus didn't forget that it's important to be connected to the source of his strength, which is his Father. And there is power in that, power in secluded devotion. If you want to live beyond the reef, you must find time to seclude yourself and stay connected to God. Stay secluded and stay devoted to him. We are after undistracted devotion. But what ends up happening is we pursue with undevoted distraction. Like we become so encapsulated in that which is going on social media, or that which is, like, we've got to think of ways to undistract ourselves. And there's so much distracting us. Now, Bill Hybels in his book, Simple, he talks about finding a prayer chair. Now, he uses this as an exercise with his church in Chicago, Willow Creek, and he tells them, go and find a place in your room and buy yourself a chair, or get a secondhand one, just a chair for prayer, and put it in that corner so you know every morning you get up and you go to that chair and you pray and you set a time and you pray and you dedicate that time to be secluded and devoted towards God. Now, you don't have to buy a chair. I'm not saying you literally have to buy a chair. I think that's a great exercise. And if you want to go to IKEA or wherever you buy chairs from, then by all means, don't come to me to put your chair together. Otherwise, it'll only have three legs. I'm not good at that stuff. But like, I'm encouraging you, like, ask yourself, what is it going to take to get that sort of secluded devotion? If Jesus is 100% God and 100% man at the same time, and yet he still needs to get the secluded devotion with the Father, then how much more as us as fallible human beings need to be connected to the Father? Where is your secluded devotion? In order for you to live a beyond the reef lifestyle, for everything that God has called you to walk in, signs and wonders, power and authority, you need to be connected to the source. You need to be connected to the Father. And it's not just about, Chan, how's your word time? Bro, how's your prayer time? How's your thought life? It's not like that sort of accountability where you feel like you have to perform for your secluded devotion. But you understand, man, you know what? I can't live this life without secluded devotion. And I'm not going to give you a clock on it. Like, you know what you need. Some of y'all at the level, well, no, I'll just get my 15. It's not, like, I always get this question asked, like, how much time is enough time? Let me answer you that question. No, your 24 hours a day is not enough to get in the Word. How many of you know you can't read the Bible enough? You can't pray enough? And the word enough means you're performing anyway. It's coming out of performance because you feel like you have to measure up. No, the aim of your secluded devotion is connectivity to the Father. It's not to meet some sort of time clock. That may be at your job, but not with Jesus. Are you connected in secluded devotion to the Father the same way that Jesus was? And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. You can kind of gather the setting there. Like, they're in this boat, this wooden boat, okay? This is not like a yacht. It's not a catamaran. This is just like a glorified dinghy, basically, right? They are out there in the middle of this water, and you can sense the vibe that's in there. Like, they are scared. And it was actually the first time that song Oceans was sung, right? He told us to go on the water, but what the heck? where'd he go? Okay, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart." Can you just hear him? I don't know if it was like that. "Take heart!" I don't know if it was like that, but I'm sorry. "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Apart from secluded devotion, you also need to have corrected perception, because what ended up happening here is that their perception was focused on the storm and on the waves, and that's when fear arose. But if you're walking in the love, the perfect love of God, perfect love casts out all fear, not just some of it, all fear. If you're walking in God, you know that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You have nothing to fear. It's your perception, it's your perceptivity at the time, is your focus on your situation, or are you choosing to magnify the Lord? That's what it means to magnify the Lord. What is the object of magnification? Think about it. Think about the way you talk about your bills at home. Do you talk about them with fear? Or do you talk about them as if, "Man, we got to pay that. I know we're going to be faithful with that. God's going to help me steward that. And God's got it, so we're good. Yeah, all right. Consider it done. Well, I'll pay that." And you don't walk around and feel, "Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? He who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it." He's got it. You don't have to fear. See, we look at those are our winds and storms and waves, right? Like we hear bad news. My objective as your pastor, and even as our worship team as well, like our objective is to allow for an environment where faith is stirred up, so our focus is not on the situation, but our focus is on our Almighty God. So when we can begin to move in faith and get our eyes off our situation and look to the hills from where our help comes from, He is the lifter of our heads, then we begin to see our situation in the right perspective. You know, I often think about, optical illusions like this one. What do you see, right? Do you see a beautiful lady looking to the right, or do you see a man looking down? Some of y'all don't see. Like, it's based on your perception what you see first, right? And I'm here to ask you, based on your perception and the way that you're walking through your trial, there is nothing too hard for my God. Do you believe the fact of your situation, or do you believe the truth of the Word of God? There are going to be many times that the facts of your life will not line up with the truth of the Word of God. Which one do you believe? Whose report do you believe? Whose report are you going to stand firm on? Knowing that all things will work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Whose report are you believing today? How many of you have a bad report waiting for you at home? Like something's up, you know. You don't have to say what it is, but, you know, it's just kind of give me like one of those. Like, me personally, I'm not going to raise my hand. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like when you go through stuff, and some of you are going through things right now, is your perception focused on that which you're going through, or your perception still on worshiping God no matter what? Because He's good all the time. And He'll get you through. Even looking back at your past, looking back at the situation. I love how David approached Goliath, right? Goliath was 10 feet tall, according to Scripture. And here's this little boy, this little teenage boy, rose up with 5 stones. I don't know why he had 5. Some people read into that. He had 5. He probably thought, "Man, if I miss, then I'm going to..." But God knew he only needed 1 to pop. But, before he popped him, what he said was, "You know, you come at me with a sword and a spear," but he remembers the name of the Lord, and he begins to testify about the bear. God has given me victory over the bear, and this God has given me the ability to rip a beard off a lion. That's in the Bible. First Samuel chapter 17. He rips a beard off a lion. Any of you seen that recently? So because of the victories of what God has brought him through, he knows, looking in the eye of Goliath, "Man, I want to take you down. You're nothing for my God." Not nothing because of me, but nothing because my God. And if you rely on your own ability, that's why fear comes when things become overwhelming. You can't get beyond the reef because the reef is so overwhelming. But when your vision is so clear at what is beyond the reef, and I'm talking about not just for yourself, but beyond the reef, living is also thinking about seeing Brisbane saved with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we can get beyond ourselves and see this great city of ours come to know Jesus, then we begin to live in the rhythm and the life beyond the reef God has called us to that sort of lifestyle. Are you with me? And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I mean, he still doesn't have that perception. I'm not sure if it's you. Even though you said, take heart, it is I. I'm sure, not sure if it's you. Let me just put my glasses on. Is it you? It's pretty dark. It's funny how they thought he was a ghost, eh? Which means they had to be familiar with what ghosts were in order for them to think he was a ghost. You know, it's funny how sometimes you watch those sorts of movies and you're like, have you ever watched a movie so freaky and then you get up from watching that movie and you're like, oh my gosh, my living room is the same size as the one on the movie. You know, and like, you're like freaking out. Oh my gosh. See, you judge what movies you watch, but if it stirs up within you a spirit of fear, then, you know, you might want to consider that what you magnify. Magnify the Lord. If you magnify the Lord, there's no room for fear. Lord, if it is you, come. If it really is you, command me to come out on the water. I want to have a turn. Can I have a turn? Come on, please. That looks cool. Jesus says, come. Just one word, come. So Peter's like, check it out. For those listening, by the way, a podcast, I am now stepping out of the boat. He's like walking on it, and he gets one step out. And the Bible says he's actually walking on the water. It's not Jesus. It's not just Jesus. It's Peter now. And he's like, woo! His focus is on Jesus. Yeah, I'm going beyond the reef. See you later, boys. And he's walking. But then it goes on to say, when he got on the boat, but when he saw the wind, many of you seen wind lately? You don't see wind, right? You hear it. What do you see? What do you see with regards to wind? You see its effects on things, right? And so he's seeing the effects rather than seeing, like when his eyes were on Jesus, he was walking on water. He's like, yeah, but then he knows. And then the waves are moving, and like his eyes slowly drift from the focus on Jesus towards that which is being affected by the wind. And he was afraid. And it doesn't say he fell into the water, but he began to sink. So it was like he's walking, yoo-hoo! And he's walking like this, woo-hoo! And he's beginning to sink. Getting lower and lower. Like he didn't go, ah! Like he's just sinking down, like he's going downstairs somewhere. How many of you have begun to sink in your trial? Like begun to sink in the overwhelming sense of, man, I don't have enough. Or I don't think he's going to come through. And your eyes are off Jesus, but they're on the effects of the winds and the storms. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, right? When it talks about building the house on the rock and the sand. How many of you know that the winds and the storms of life happen to both? It doesn't guarantee when you build your house on a rock, it's good weather all the time. That's a false gospel. Like the storms and the winds come on both houses. One falls down because it's not founded. Now that's happening here. Like when his focus is on Jesus, his focus is good. And he doesn't even look at what he's walking on. He's like, yeah, check it out. Hey, hey. Like he's walking with his stride. But then, and then the winds and the storms start brewing up situations, circumstances, bills, people getting sick in your family, stuff starting to happen, disasters, terrorists, oh my, winds. And then your focus starts to lower. That's why, again, the Bible says in Psalms that he is the lifter of our heads. He keeps our eyes up. And so that we look beyond the reef rather than letting our gaze begin to drift down. And then we also drift down, begin to sink. Have you begun to sink in your faith? Have you begun to start to doubt? Not necessarily God, but maybe God, but like lift your focus off Jesus and begin to see the circumstances that you're walking into and begin to see them as so overwhelming that you begin to sink into depression or sink into oppression or sink into fear. I've been there. I know what it's like. Yes, your pastor has been there. Like I've seen what it's like to get so overwhelmed. Like one of the most overwhelming thing is the underwhelming of your finances, right? when you're overwhelmed by the underwhelm, if that makes sense. Like, you're like, wow, this is too much that it's not enough. You know, like, and you begin to sink rather than keeping your focus on Him. He's your provision. He's your provider. He's more than enough for you. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh. But it's due tomorrow. How's it going to come through? Oh my gosh. I can't pay this bill. Why did you crash the car? Now I have to pay my insurance. Oh, we don't have insurance. Now I have to pay the whole car. Oh my gosh. And then you know, in Psalm 1, we have another term called Fa'a Lavi Lavi. That's the reason why it's called Fa'a Lavi Lavi. It's called, it means interruption. Because it interrupts your life and then you start to begin to sing. A Fa'a Lavi Lavi, for those of you who are not Psalm 1 here, are like when you have, when something happens majorly in your family and then you have to give. How many of you in your own culture have those sorts of situations where somebody, you know, passes away suddenly and you're like, okay, we have to give. And that's like the interruption, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm beginning to sink. And your focus, your head drops down and you're looking at your situation. The Bible demands for us to lift our heads and allow by His grace for Him to lift our heads. Look at Him. Hebrews 12:2, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher. Like, He who started, He's going to finish it. Peter, now, I don't think it was a rebuke when Jesus went on to say, immediately reaching out His hand, taking a hold of Him, saying to Him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't think it was a rebuke. I think it was just like, ah, oh, you of little faith. You're like, oh, well. Because, like, if you think about it, he may have had a little faith, but that's all you need, right? The Bible says that you have faith as small as a mustard seed. It's not the size of your faith. After all, He gives you the faith. But it's where that faith is placed. It's placed in God. Why did you doubt? Because, like, Peter had a little faith, but his boys in the boat had no faith. I'd rather have a little faith than no faith and not step out of the boat or step beyond the reef. Just sit in the safety of the boat and kumbaya my way into heaven. Like, affect nobody else's life. Swing hands, kumbaya, my Lord, take me now. Like, no effect on change in society. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants our Christianity to count for nothing. Let's just stay in the boat. This is our boat. But God is calling us out onto the water, a place unknown where feet may fail. And so Jesus did invite him to come, right? He said, come. And he's saying to you, come. This is the power also. If you want to go beyond the reef, you must understand that there is an invited impartation that God gives us through His Son, Jesus. He invites us to go beyond the reef. It's not just us going beyond the reef. See, Moana, this is the difference between Moana and us. It's like she had a feeling inside her bones. I'm not going to sing the song from Trolls, don't worry. Some of you are like, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Like, she had a feeling, like the calling, or maybe it was the Grandma Tala or whatever, but like she had this deep sense, man, I've got to go beyond the reef. Like, we've got the eternal God inviting us to live life beyond the reef, calling us out, hey, live beyond yourself. Don't worry, I've got you. Because when you come out beyond the reef, you actually start living. This is living. Being in the boat is not living. Being in the boat is actually to equip you to go out of the boat. That's why Jesus preached a lot of His sermons in the boat. You remember, He would go out and you know, having gone to Galilee myself, it make for a massive amphitheater. Like, people would stand along the shore and He would teach from the boat. But His perspective was for you to be launched out with what He was challenging you in His sermons so that you would go out beyond the boat, beyond the reef. It's not just about, like, yes, there's power in community, power in fellowship. We need to fight for community and fight for fellowship. But our fellowship is to empower us to go out and go and live beyond the reef. And He's inviting us out because as He calls us out, the promise is that He goes with us. The Great Commission, you hear me say it all the time. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, and I will be with you always. We forget that part. Like, there is no disciple making without the presence of God. And so He calls us beyond the reef. And the thing about living beyond the reef is understanding that your life is not about you anymore. It's about the generations that come after you as well. And this is the one beef I have with Moana, the movie, okay? None of that feminism stuff, that's, you know, that's for other people. But like my beef with Moana, okay? This was actually brought up by my youngest daughter, Jordan. Because what they would do, if you haven't seen, for those of you who have not seen the movie Moana, Spoiler alert, okay? Just block your ears. But like, too late, I've just shown the image. But but like basically what happens is, like each chief, each generation of chief would bring a stone and put it on this altar. And my youngest daughter spotted that she put the conch shell on top. And my youngest daughter said, "But Daddy, you can't put anything on top of the conch shell." I was like, "True. Moana, you should have thought about who's like Moana part two." Like Liana comes out and she's like, "Oh, I can't put anything on top of the shell because it's not an even surface for me to put anything on top of, right? Like it's going to shake, it's going to fall off. So all glory to Moana because she's on the top." Are you with me? Like you can't put anything on top of that shape, right? And so like thinking about the generation that comes after you is also a lifestyle of living beyond the reef. When you begin to understand that as he invites us to impartation, he was thinking about you taking it to the next level. When Jesus would say, "These things that you see me do, you will also do, and greater works." Like he, by the power of his Holy Spirit, invites us to live a lifestyle that goes beyond that which he himself walked in. He imparts that to us. And he says, "Come on, come." Just one word. He invites you to come. And sure, as I'm closing, sure, it may have been a situation where you may have started to begun to sink. But that's the power of repentance. Repentance is a beautiful word where you can say, "I know I've begun to sink in the past, but you know what? I'm going to fight to stay with my hand held towards the Lord like Peter did. When he began to sink, he grabbed the hand of the Lord. He's like, "Oh no." And Jesus lifted him back onto the boat. And he says, "Don't doubt. Just keep coming." And that's where I'm landing it today. Like you may have had a perception of your situations that starts to lower your focus off of Jesus and onto your situation. The Lord would have you know, lift your head beyond your situation and begin to come and walk to him. Come and walk to him out on the water. He calls you to himself. He says, "Don't worry, if you failed before, just keep coming. Just keep coming out. I'm calling you to myself." Are you with me? He says, "Come."
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.